Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth coming to you from the studios of Way of Truth Ministries, Altoona, Pennsylvania. It's a delight to have you on board. We just appreciate so much each of you who have taken the time to listen, possibly in your vehicles, at work, at home, whatever the case may be. We pray that it'll be a real blessing to you. We're going to continue our study on loving God. And I hope and pray that it'll be a blessing to you. But let's first go to the Lord in prayer. Then go to a good quality song talking about the love of God and our love for Him and His for us. Father, we can only praise You for the privilege to share the Word of God. I pray, our Father, that You'll take the Word and You'll meet the need of each heart and life right now. And Lord, should someone need to be saved, may this be the hour, the moment, the very day they come to know Thee, whom to know aright is life eternal. And we're going to praise You for the results, because we've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I've been singing about my Lord for so many years. I've sung when I've been happy. I've sung when I've had tears. Some folks may even question if it's all been just a show, but the reason that I'm singing, I want the world to know. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there is the power to save. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I know I'm not alone. I sing because someday I'm walking through the fiery trial. I've watched their saddened faces turn into happy smiles. I bowed my head and whispered, Lord, please do the same for me. Oh, I'm glad that I can tell you. I sing because there is the power to save. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I know I'm not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home where I shall sing through all eternity. I sing because I know
Amen. I sing because, and what a tremendous song and a way to begin our study talking about loving God biblically, a love for the Lord. Our text again, and I'll read it again to you, then we're going to move on to another text to kind of open up what we're looking for in the next, this week and next week. In verse 4 of chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. As I mentioned before, the book of Deuteronomy is sort of the wrap-up that Moses is giving to the children of Israel, reminding them of where they've come from, of God's great blessing, yes, of God's judgment when that needed to be done, but then of the promise of God's future blessing on the nation of Israel. And many of those principles you and I can take, you and I can assimilate to our own personal Christian life. Notice what he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." So he's talking about the triune God being one God. We do not have three gods, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We have one God manifested in three persons. You see, it was the Holy Spirit who, the Bible tells us in John 16, brought conviction and brings conviction to the hearts and lives of men and women. It is God who designed the matter of salvation and the matter of Christian living. Then it was the Lord Jesus Christ who came into this world and clothed himself in the fashion of a man, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Read Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, and see that spelled out very clearly, or 1 Timothy 3:16. And Christ provided the way of salvation. Then it is the Holy Spirit who brings that conviction to our hearts. And then when he does that and we call upon the Lord, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says he seals us until the day of redemption, until the day that God calls us home. Now, that is a working of this one God. And so when we talk about loving God, we are talking about loving, yes, the Trinity, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, look at verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy might. And we did give you those references in the New Testament to the three references there to the same account, Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 is a key verse there, and Luke 10:27, and Mark 12:20. And then again, 29. And in those, we're told this same thing that's mentioned in verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. One of those translations says strength. And so it means the whole inner being. I am to love God. I am to show and manifest God in the strength he gives me, in the weakness that I might be going through, where I work, what I do. Everything about me needs to display the love of God. Now I invite you to turn back to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. If you'll turn back there, we'll see this again. It's related in a little bit different style, but it is saying something about this love that we're to have for God. Jeremiah 31, and we'll just look at verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with the tabrets, and shalt be go forth in the dances of them that make merry. In other words, God says, listen, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God never ceased loving and has not ceased today loving Israel. Now, we realize that God begun the nation of Israel through Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12. But that was in the heart of God back before the foundation of the world. God knew that he was going to call out a people for his name. When Israel rejected the Son of God, Jesus Christ, to be their Savior, and they rejected that love that God displayed to them, God opened the door for you and for me. Read Romans chapter 11. It is called the wild olive branch. We are the wild olive branch, and God has engrafted us into the natural branch, into the natural vine. And we are now the people of God. We are called the church. We are called the body of Christ, those of us who have been redeemed. And one day, yes, one day, we will go in that rapture, or, well, it'll be a rapture, it'll take us out of the grave, or rapture will take us off of the earth, and we'll go to be with the Lord, and forever we shall be with him. So this is showing God's love. But notice God says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. An everlasting love is a love that does not and cannot end. God says, listen, I have a love for you that does not stop. I always am amazed as a pastor. I've performed marriage ceremonies of a lot of people. I've counseled couples in marriage and planning on marriage and all of that. But it amazes me how many families or couples say, well, I don't love this one anymore. You know, there's either one of two things. Either the very beginning you didn't love that person at all, or there's something totally wrong with you and your relationship. And it may seem like there's no love there, but, you know, the attempt, and I'm not getting into counseling, but the attempt to try to bring people around to understand how these conflicts come in our lives, and sometimes we may not feel. You know, I'm sure there are conflicts that have come in your life as a Christian, and you just didn't feel physically like you were saved. But as you come to the Lord, he assures your heart. As you come to his word, you see that it is true that you are saved because you've called upon the Lord Jesus Christ and invited him to forgive you of your sin, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. But God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. He has never ceased to love us. And he goes on and shows Israel. And a good illustration of God's love is how he brought Israel, even though they rejected going into the promised land. He stayed with them for 38 years, providing food for them, providing water for them, providing protection for them. And my friend, God will do that whole deal for you and for me as we yield ourselves to him. Now, why will he do that? Well, let's go back to 1 John a little bit. We're going to look at a couple other passages now. We've kind of stayed in some, did some contextual study. 1 John, by the way, is probably one of the most declaring books that declare the love of God more than any other. I'm just trying to see here if I had a note written down how many times we have the word love written. I mean, 1 John gives us so many key words, the gospel, truth, and so forth. But I know that in the Gospel of John, some 99 to 100 times you'll find love or one of its derivatives mentioned. I believe it's 20-some times, if I'm not mistaken, right here in 1 John. Now, the fact is that God wanted you and I to know that there needs to be a love relationship. You know, I often talk about that with people and in marriage. I've talked about that the love relationship. The love relationship circumvents even problems. You know, you don't lose your love for somebody if they've gone through sickness. You don't lose your love for someone if they've gotten maybe major emotional problems and all those kind of things. In fact, it usually creates more love in a relationship. And so we need to understand that God shows us from his word his great love to us. Go with me over to 1 John and chapter 4 and verse 7. Now, you can go to so many verses here in 1 John. We're not going to look at all of them by a long shot. But let's look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, or pardon me, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, how can we love God properly? Well, we need to study the love of God for us. You know, God so loved the world, one of the most basic verses and yet profound verses is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God demonstrated that love, his love. And that presents to us then the wonderful fact and the opportunity to display that love to others. And so he gives us here in chapter 4 that we are to, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. We're going to listen to a song right now, and then with your finger here, go over to the last chapter of the Gospel of John.
I love Jesus Christ, my Savior. He is everything to me.
And can you say, I love Jesus? That's what they were saying. I love Jesus, my Savior and King. Now, over here in the final chapter of John, John 21, begin looking at verse 15. Now, we were talking about the fact that God demonstrated his love, we love him because he first loved us. We're launching from Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, where he challenged Israel that he had loved them. and he had loved them and made them a covenant. And what a blessing to read in there and see all the things that God told Israel. But now we come to 1 John 1:7, and we saw that let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, and he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Then I said we wanted to go over here to John chapter 21. This is a passage that's been preached many times, and it's a great passage. As our Lord has had dinner with his disciples, then he calls Peter aside. And I think that's very interesting. I'm not getting in, like I say, into counseling here with the subject, but he takes Peter from the dinner, and now he's going to talk with him. And I don't believe it was loud. I don't think the rest of the disciples even heard it. God, and the Lord Jesus was talking with Peter, wanting to really establish him. Now, I think there's something very interesting. You're very familiar that Peter denied the Lord three times. And in the Gospels, we're told that when Mary Magdalene was told, go and tell my disciples and Peter that I am risen and go before them into Galilee. You see, Jesus was very specific to encourage Peter that though he had denied him and though Peter felt rotten to the core, that Jesus Christ still loved him. You see, love does not and is not affected by things that go wrong. But rather, love should develop a stronger bond. Now, we're not in that kind of spirit today in our society. I'm sorry, but that's just the truth. Loyalty is not something that we... In fact, that word's out of most people's dictionary. Loyalty. And it goes both ways. I see it within the church. I can see it within individuals' lives. I see it within the church life. Of course, you see it out in society. I mean, it's all the time out there. But Jesus Christ hadn't given up on Peter. Peter gave up on Peter. As a result of this encounter in John 21, it transformed Peter's life. Yes, we see him preaching that great sermon in Acts chapter 2. See, he and John taking their stand against the Sanhedrin in the following chapters. And so throughout the book of Acts, we see Peter standing tall for the Lord Jesus Christ, a result of this particular passage. But there's another place that you see the compassion of Peter, who was very, he was very adamant in things. And that other passage is when John Mark comes back to Jerusalem, leaving Paul and Barnabas from their missionary journey. And he leaves them and comes back into Jerusalem. It is Peter who takes John Mark and begins to disciple him and instruct him and talk with him about being right with the Lord and that he didn't fail God. Yeah, that first missionary journey may have not been successful, but you're not a failure in God's eyes. And he counseled him so that later on Paul would write to Timothy and said, bring John Mark, for he's profitable to me for the ministry. You see, beloved, there is a purpose in this love of God for us. That purpose is for us to mature and develop and be a witness for him and be a testimony for him. But secondly, it is a fact that he wants us to minister to others that they might be profitable. Now, let's look at this. Jesus takes Peter aside in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, I understand there have been so many sermons preached, and I'm not going to go there. But there have been sermons preached that he's saying, do you love me more than these disciples? Do you love me more than these fish? And they went on down the line. Well, I'm not going to go there at all. All I'm going to say is, lovest thou me more than these? Whatever the these was, that was Jesus' business and Peter's. but do you love me more than anything else? Peter, you need to answer this. Not more than and John, not more than Andrew, not more than any of the disciples. Do you really love me more than anything else in this world? He'd ask you that same question. He'd ask me that same question. Elwood, do you really love me more than anything else in this world? More than a nice new car? More even than your family? You see, that's what he is asking Peter. It's putting Peter to the test. Peter, how much do you really love me? Well, we know that the Lord told him that Peter said he'd love him to death, and the Lord said, yeah, well, you're going to die for me. And tradition has it that he was crucified upside down, saying he was not worthy to be crucified, as was Jesus. But he says, do you love me more than anything else in this world, Peter? I want you to put everything up here on the horizon now. You tell me, do you love me more than that? How about more than this new fishing boat? Look at this here classy fishing boat out here. Do you love me more than that? You know, Jesus was getting down to the heart of the matter. If we're going to answer the question of our love in a godly way for the Lord, we're going to have to lay everything else on that altar and say, Lord, here it is. You help me not to love this stuff. And beloved, that's what we've got to do. It's not a natural thing for you and for me to look at these things that would be very nice to have and not a thing wrong to have them and be able to say, I love the Lord more than I love this. In Pennsylvania, we got a hunting season. In many, many states, we have that. And I enjoy hunting. But how about that slicked down new rifle to go out there and go after that deer? Do you love me more than that rifle? That you'll work extra hours just so you can earn the money to buy it. Do you love me more than that? It's not saying you can't have it, but do you love me more than that rifle? Do you love me more than that car? Do you love me more? Peter, do you love me more than all of these and whatever those these might be? Beloved, we're going to come back to that. Well, this is where we'll start next week. Showing our love for God biblically. Father, take the word, meet the need of each heart and life. In Jesus' name, amen. You can contact us by email at wotbm.org. And then just mark message of truth and ask the question, whatever it is. We'll try to give you the biblical answer to whatever is on your heart and mind. Thank you so much. God bless you.